Please welcome back to Herd Unity of New York Home, Reverend Diane Burr.
Thank you, Leo. Thank you, Britt. It's always lovely, lovely to be here, and it does feel like coming home. As Britt mentioned, this past Monday was our national holiday to commemorate the birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King. And all week I've been reflecting on a piece in the New York Times that was published this past Monday that I haven't been able to stop thinking about. Dr. King has always been one of my personal heroes. I've read many of his writings and speeches, read a beautiful biography of him called Let the Trumpet Sound. And I've probably watched the speech he gave in front of the Lincoln Memorial on August 28, 1963, at least dozens and dozens of times. As I've watched that speech, I've always been moved by the whole thing. But like many other people, have been especially struck by the moment when he looks up from his notes and begins to describe his dream. A dream of what he called the beloved community, that he could vision and see so clearly and powerfully that as he spoke, we could see it and feel it in our hearts as well. A community that includes all of us. The piece in the Times on Monday helped me understand why that part of the speech, that moment in the speech, was so transforming. The piece in the Times was called something like the part of Martin Luther King's greatness that we often tend to ignore. And what the author wrote is that although we think of Dr. King as a great leader, as a great orator, what we sometimes forget is that he was a great listener. When he was giving the speech in late August of 1963, he got to a place in his notes where the next line he just somehow knew was wrong. It was not the next place he needed to go. And so he paused. And in that pause, Mahalia Jackson, who was seated behind him, called out to him, "Tell them about the dream, Martin. Tell them about the dream." And he listened. He not only heard her words, but he listened to her. And he responded, he said yes to the wisdom and guidance and direction that had come to him through her in that moment. And he raised his eyes from the page and spoke the words, "I have a dream." And what poured through him in that moment was pure light, pure energy of inspiration and passion and energy that can still rouse us today, 55 years later, when we hear them. If you haven't watched or listened to the speech for a while, please Google it or look at it on YouTube. It's well worth it. The author of the piece in the Times also described a number of other ways and situations in which Dr. King demonstrated his capacity and willingness to listen. But there's one in particular I wanted to share with you today. It occurred in the lead up to the bus boycott in Montgomery, Alabama, that thrust the 26-year-old Martin Luther King into the leadership spotlight of the civil rights movement. King had already received a number of threats to his own and his family's safety and warnings not to go ahead with the boycott, especially out of concern for his family, at that time his wife and infant. He had just one child who was an infant daughter at that point in his life. He began having doubts about whether or not to go through with the boycott. In the middle of a sleepless night, as the boycott approached, the phone rang and Dr. King answered it. The voice on the other end of the phone hissed at him, called him the N-word, and told him, "We've taken as much from you as we're gonna take. We don't want you here. If you go ahead with this boycott, you're gonna be sorry you did." And the caller hung up. Badly shaken, Dr. King sat down at his kitchen table, his head in his hands, and he prayed, "Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I'm putting my family, myself, and I don't know how many other people in danger. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I'm meant to do this. I don't know. I just don't know. Please help me." And in the silence of the night, and in the silence of his own heart, Dr. King heard, "Martin, stand up. Martin, stand up and do what your heart knows is the right thing to do. And lo, I will be with you in the midst of everything, even in the midst of trials and adversity." And Martin Luther King stood up. He heard and he listened. And the Montgomery bus boycott changed history. So what do these stories, what does Dr. King's model have to teach us? Clearly, the vast majority of us have not been called to step into the spotlight of leadership and greatness, or to make the kinds of sacrifice at the level that Martin Luther King was asked to do. But just like Dr. King, each one of us is called to ask, prayerfully and sincerely, what is ours to do in this world? How can we serve in ways that are authentic to our gifts and talents and abilities? And we're asked to be willing to listen and say yes to taking the next right step on our own journey. How do we know what that is? How do we know what is ours to do? Another of my heroes, the Quaker educator and author Parker Palmer, has written, "We are like plants, full of tropisms that draw us towards certain experiences and repel us from others. If we can learn to read our own responses to our experience, a text we are writing unconsciously every day we spend on Earth, we will receive the guidance we need to live more authentic lives. Like plants that naturally turn toward the sun, we naturally turn toward certain experiences that nourish us and help us thrive. And we turn away from other kinds of experiences that diminish us or deaden us. As we pay attention to and respond and honor these experiences and our own natural responses, whether or not they match our notion of who we think we're supposed to be, we learn to hear and recognize the voice of wisdom and guidance, the voice of spirit, and of our own most deep and authentic self within us and around us. And beyond hearing that voice, we're then invited to listen to it, to say yes to it, and to let it guide in action our choices and our lives. My own spiritual path, A Course in Miracles, tells us that the Holy Spirit's voice is as loud as our willingness to listen. The Holy Spirit's voice is as loud as our willingness to listen. If we're invested in a particular answer, it will interfere and make it hard for us to be able to hear clearly the voice that speaks for truth. But if we want the truth for its own sake, what is mine to do? The voice for God and the voice for truth will make itself clear to us and known to us in ways that we cannot possibly misunderstand. Like Mahalia Jackson calling out, "Martin, tell them about the dream." That clear. Yet it also takes courage to listen to that voice and respond. Because as the Native American elder Sakej Henderson has pointed out, to truly listen is to risk being changed forever. The truth we hear may have real implications for how we're living our lives. It may disrupt our familiar routines and call us out of our comfort zones. The most transformative spiritual journeys often demand a leave-taking from an old way of life. We see this in the lives of great spiritual teachers like Abraham and Moses and Jesus and Buddha and Muhammad. And it's also the case that most often when we set out on this journey, we're not shown the entirety of the path ahead of us. Instead, we're shown simply the next right step. And as we are willing to take that step, in trust that the further guidance we need will be given to us, not before, but when we need it, the further movement on our path is revealed to us. Part of what that means is that listening is not something we get to do once and then be done with. It needs to be a practice that we engage in day after day after day, in our morning or evening prayer or meditation time, and in paying attention to all the ways that Spirit speaks to us through the people and the events and the situations of our daily lives. Finally, let's look for a moment at discernment. How do we know whether the voice we're hearing is the voice of Spirit and not simply the voice of ego, which loves to dress up and masquerade as Spirit? It's certainly easy to get caught up in the ego's desire when we ask, "What is mine to do?" To want to hear something glamorous, something big, something impressive, something that will feed our ego's hunger for attention and recognition and accolades and fame. The ego always whispers to us, "You're meant to be great." But what it means by great is almost always bigger, better, more special, and more important than somebody else. When we hear that, it's a pretty good giveaway that the voice we've been listening to is the voice of the ego. That version of greatness has nothing to do with true greatness. This is what Dr. King had to say about greatness. "Greatness is determined by service. Greatness is determined by service. Everybody can be great because anybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and verb agree to serve. You need only a heart full of grace, a soul generated by love. True greatness. In my experience, the clearest indication that we're listening to the voice of Spirit is that there is a deep sense of rightness, a deep sense of inner knowing, a deep recognition of the truth of what we're hearing. Course in Miracles tells us God's answer is always some form of peace. Some form of peace. And when we're listening to the voice for God, the voice of Spirit, the voice of our own true self, there is a calm inner knowing and a deep current of peace that we can feel. And this is the case even when there are other more difficult and turbulent feelings at the surface of our experience. Grief, sadness, uncertainty, fear of what might lie ahead, or of the price I might have to pay for saying yes. Even with all of these stormy waves at the surface of our emotions, there is underneath all of that a deep, deep peace that we can recognize and trust and rest into. I've experienced this many times in my own life, including when I needed to end a relationship that was grounded in love, but no longer serving either one of us. And when, in the middle of a board staff retreat, I felt the urge to tell the board and staff of One Spirit that it was time to initiate a succession plan for when I would be ready to step back. I didn't feel completely ready in that moment. I had lots of questions about what would unfold, but there was a rightness in that moment. There was that sense of peace. I'd like to close this morning with a poem someone shared with me this week. A poem about this quality of deep listening. The poem is by Martha Postlethwaite, and it's called Clearing. Do not try to serve the whole world or do anything grandiose. Instead, create a clearing in the dense forest of your life and wait there patiently until the song that is yours alone to sing falls into your open cupped hands and you recognize and greet it. Only then will you know how to give yourself to this world so worthy of rescue. Amen.
think, heart and wisdom. And thank you for sharing both with us today. Something came to mind for me back there when you were speaking. That to be or not to be. And the words of Mr. Shakespeare is not the question. It's what is mine to do and what is mine to be. Are you willing to listen to Holy Spirit? To listen to that voice that Diane is talking about? I'm going to invite you to close your eyes now as we prepare to move into a deeper space. What are you ready to say yes to? Because whatever it is, it's already within you. And so now we get still and we create that space where we drop into the knowingness that is always with us. In the calm of your presence, I am listening, God. I am still, I am quiet, I am yours. In the calm of your presence, I'm listening, God. I am still, I am quiet, I am yours. Let your word speak through me. Let your message be clear.
Imagine yourself in a clearing in the dense forest of your life. And sit down there on the soft, welcoming earth, waiting patiently. Patiently for the song that is yours alone to sing, to fall into your open cupped hands. Into your open, receptive heart and mind. Patient. Receptive. Trusting that at the exact right time, you will hear and what you hear will bring you peace. And you will listen and follow and go into the world to sing your song that only you can sing, and that this precious, beloved world we share so deeply needs to hear. In stillness, listen. In silence, listen. Thank you.
I am yours. I am still, I am quiet, I am yours. I am still, I am quiet, I am yours. And so it is.